Today's lesson is entitled God's Love, the Only True Love. And for those here today that understand fully the very truth in these words, well, no doubt you have experienced and felt God's love from within you and all about you. The only true love. How precious is your steadfast love, O God? The children of mankind take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Psalms 36:7. But love means a lot of things to a lot of different people, does it not? Especially out here in the world. Out here in the world of unrealized truth, unenlightened man and woman universally have but a human concept of love. A concept that usually brings with it a degree of worldly satisfaction, but also a litany of emotional ups and downs, happiness and sadness, joy and gloom, want and need, and so many other human emotions that have little to do with the real nature of God's love. Man, from a very early age, learns and harbors subconsciously limited and mental aspects of human love, some very good and some not so good. Although we would like to believe that all children grow up in loving homes, there are, in fact, children that have been told over and over again by abusive parents that they are not loved, that they are not worthy, that they are not wanted, or these children have simply been neglected altogether and have never experienced loved and nurturing. Well, it's no wonder that many of these children grow up having no idea as to what true love really is, and how many of them and others, until such time as they hopefully realize their truth, go through untold relationships and marriages out here in the world, seeking that perfect partner that shall fill their every need. And finally, my friends, give them the type of love that they have been seeking, whatever that might be. And how many individuals, not knowing their true being, go through life wanting to be loved, seeking to be loved and admired and validated by others, and placing their entire self-worth on what others think or say about them? Yes, the rooms of the nation's therapists and psychologists, full of these individuals, many of them called codependents. There's an answer, of course. There's a perfect way, and it is the kingdom within of eternal love and eternal joy. But human ignorance, weakness, need, and a consciousness of the world seem to be too powerful for many to overcome. So the search for love goes on without. And then there is a world of so-called healthy individuals that also seek and live for this magical feeling called love. Let's face it, my friends, when it comes to the limitations of human love, we have been indoctrinated by the world, and especially when it comes to romantic love. Although not as paramount as years past, a large segment of the world still envision themselves growing up, finding that perfect someone, falling in love, and living happily ever after. Well, as we know, Any relationship that excludes God consciousness and spiritual principle does not always turn out the way the romantic couple thought it might, because much of the time such relationships are not about true love, but rather are steeped in human sensuous desire, personal demands, dependency, and unrealistic expectations of one another. All we have to do is listen to the lyrics of so-called love songs to get an idea of what the limited human mind believes love is all about. By the way, I like some of these songs. I grew up with some of them. But still, such songs clearly touch upon strong emotional aspects of human love and desire, and are able to bring about a spectrum of human emotions in the minds of those who presently are or have been in love out here in the world. God mind and enduring eternal spiritual love are not in the worldly picture, as his love is not of this world. You know, running a search on the internet, one particular site listed 392,596 songs that had the word love in the title or in the lyrics. And this list was not all inclusive. So what are the messages in the lyrics of some of these love songs that enter our mind and our psychology and our subconscious to provide a stark example between the difference of God's love and limited and conditional human love, especially if it pertains to two individuals? Let's take one song in particular. Love is a hurting thing. For those that you have been around as long as I have, you know Lou Rawls. Of course, he's gone. It was a heck of a song. But let's listen to the lyrics. For every little kiss, there's a little teardrop. For every single thrill, there's another heartache. The road is rough. The going gets tough. Love is a hurting thing. Oh, love is a hurting thing. When you're in my arms, I'm a king on the throne. But when we're apart, I walk the streets alone. One day happiness, the next day loneliness. When love brings so much joy, why must it bring such pain? Guess it's a mystery that nobody can explain. Now, do such words resonate with divine love as we know it, that is ours always, that is closer than breathing in hands and feet? Again, I think not. And then there were other songs. Love is a battlefield. How deep is your love? Love is a many splendid thing. Will you still love me tomorrow? By the Shirelles, by the way, 1962. Love Me Tender, Elvis Presley. And thousands more that speak of love out here in the world. Love that in most cases has nothing to do with true love. And the beauty and the wonder it brings along in every case. Yes, human love, although exhilarating, passionate, and seemingly glorious, can also be laced with that human need. And when need is in place, my friends, all too many human relationships simply come and go. And so across America and around the world, there are millions of divorces, often leaving those that once loved one another passionately to now loathe and dislike one another. But such scenarios are not possible in a relationship with our Father. When we in conscious realization dwell in Him, and He in us, as one, because His love is not of this world, it is of the kingdom, and it has been and forever shall be. But so many continue to know not, or simply prefer to know not. Moving on from romantic love and its ups and downs, let us consider man's desire and attempts to bring about love and peace throughout the world via human activity. Good deed doing from human mind. Well, here again, there are songs that address the appearance of human conditions, of prejudice, war, hatred, pride, arrogance, world hunger, and so on and so forth. The list is endless. Songs written to hopefully inspire the people of the world to love one another, to come together in peace, in understanding, in common union, in common bond. Just to name a few, put a little love in your heart. Love is the answer. Where is the love? We are the world. And so on and so forth. Now, my friends, I'm not saying that love on the human level is bad. Of course it's not. But what I am saying is, if any type of relationship, whether we global, universally, or personal, individually, does not include a consciousness of the kingdom within, it shall not offer fulfillment on the individual level, and it is doomed for failure on the global front. And so we have out here in the world untold millions of individuals walking about lost, hysterically upset because of their hearts have been broken, telling this or that person that they just can't live without the so-called love of their life. And on the global front, we have continued hatred, racism, greed, wars, and all that are products of the limited human mind. A mind attuned to this material world. A world that is separate and apart from God. So for those individuals and human relationships that live and move in God consciousness and His love, it is highly probable that their love for one another shall be sustained, as it is not based on human needs or wants, but rather upon enduring principle, God and God consciousness. Likewise, universal love and peace on earth shall never be permanently experienced unless God consciousness reigns individually and collectively, and His love is experienced by all individuals. So why is God's ever-present love not being made manifest by the masses? Why? It's there. Why does there remain in the world an appearance of hate, racism, and anger? Well, the answer is right there, right here. God. God mind, God within. Well, I think we know why. It is because man is not listening. He is not attuned to that still small voice within that is always calling to him, saying, leave your nets of the world. Leave your nets of the material, of ego, of race mind, of personality, of human divisiveness, and come unto me. Where true love, my eternal and perfect love and peace reside forever. And this is nothing new, of course. Man not listening. As it was over 2,000 years ago that the Master spoke of this exact human condition. In Matthew 13, verses 13 through 16, the Master Jesus, when speaking to his disciples, was very clear in this regard. And he said, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, They hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand. And seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their eyes are dull of hearing. Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. 2,000 years ago. What's changed since then? How much has changed since Jesus spoke those words over 2,000 years ago? How much? How much of the world has realized God's universal love and presence and have walked in it, understanding it is of their being? Well, turn on the news of this world, my friends, and much of your answers shall be revealed. But even so, God's love is there for the taking, for those that earnestly and honestly seek it. My friends, the metaphysical meaning of love is the pure essence of being that binds us together as a whole human family. That is just beautiful. Let me read that again. Love is the pure essence of being that binds us together as a whole human family. Of all the attributes of God, love is undoubtedly paramount. In divine mind, God mind, love is the power that joins and binds in divine harmony the universe and everything in it. It is the great harmonizing principle known to man. It is impossible to describe it from a human perspective. But I assure you, it is indeed felt when it is stirring within us as a result of our God consciousness. Divine love is impersonal. It loves for the sake of loving. It is love, and love made manifest. It is not concerned with what or who it loves, or with a return of love. Like the sun, its joy is in the shining forth of its nature. And so Scripture tells us, love suffereth not, and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, and it is not puffed up. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Yes, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everyone. It insists that all is good, and by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality to appear uppermost in itself and in all things, including each of us as individualized expressions of God, of love. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. And when we call upon God as Holy Spirit for healing, which is the realization of our truth, we are calling on divine love. Divine love brings our own to us, my friends. It adjusts all misunderstandings between us and others and makes our life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. And thus it is written in Romans 13, verse 10, love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. God's love is a divine attribute of our Father's being. Thus, my friends, it is an attribute of our being in Him. It is an idea in the one mind. God is love, and love is God. We too are love, and consciousness makes it so. The difference between divine love and human love, and we spoke on it earlier, is that divine love is broad, unlimited, unconditional, eternal, and a universal and harmonizing power, always. But human love is all too often based upon personality. And as we know all too well, it can be selfish, lawless, and fickle. And so, when man foolishly attempts to express divine love in limited human ways, he immediately makes separation from God and consciousness. And his lacking expression of love is personal instead of universal. Through prayer and meditation, through the continuous practicing of the presence of God, we are able to establish ourselves in the consciousness of divine love. It is then, by expressing divine love at all times, we, you and I, are helped to fulfill the command, love your enemies, do good to them that hate you, bless them that curse you, pray for them that despitefully use you. So, my friends, how much love, true love of God, of your true being, has been demonstrated as of late? Has the light of Christ that goes through you touched another's heart as of late? What is it that is in your mind and in your hearts as of late? Is it love for everyone, regardless of appearance out here? Is it? We are told to get that mind that was also in the Christ Jesus. This is the one mind, God mind. So do we have the Christ mind, or do we have a mind full of fear, full of distrust of others? Do we harbor dislike for those of a so-called different race, color, or creed? If so, we are of the limited human mind that is incapable of receiving and demonstrating God's love and life here on earth. Now, knowing mentally from books and by attending classes here at the church or wherever, and our services, what we know about God's love, and knowing Scripture and reciting it day after day, there is still nothing we can do personally with the human mind or on a human level to increase the availability of divine love. As long as we continue to block it by holding thoughts and feelings opposed to the nature of God, to the nature of true love, to the nature of our Father. And as we know, as within, so without. In other words, a sense of separation from God makes it virtually impossible for you and I to experience and demonstrate the one true love, that being God's eternal and unconditional love. So what do we do, my friends? What is it we do? Well, we develop love in our heart and minds and souls by sitting in the silence, by asking daily that the infinite love of the Father be realized within us, by praying, meditating, and affirming that we are one with Him, and express at all times the perfect love of God. Throughout the day, we practice the presence of God and realize more and more that He is all good. He is all love. And besides Him, there is no other. None. It is then that we get out of the way. We, the personalities, that conscious realization takes hold. And God in us and through us does the work, says the words, does the blessings, and brings about love and understanding all about us. For as we of ourselves can do nothing. And so it is when we die to self, when we leave this world behind, when we go within day after day, sitting in the silence with an expectant heart, an expectant soul, rest assured that a warm and loving feeling, not of this world, shall come over you. And you shall know, and you shall know that you know. There is nothing in this world of the flesh, my friends, not one thing, absolutely nothing that can ever compare with the feeling and realization of God's almighty and uplifting presence within. His presence, when known and felt, includes an all-encompassing and reassuring love. It is through this love that you shall know joy, happiness, health, abundance, peace. Living within this love and conscious realization of God, you shall also know that there is absolutely no weapon on earth that can prosper and hurt you. In Him, you shall be loved unconditionally and held in eternal peace. And so it is. My friends, as we conclude today's lesson, let us take with us the words of the Master regarding two most important commandments. I think we all know what they are and how relative they are to today's lesson. When asked by one of his disciples as to which was the great commandment in the law, Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Matthew 22, verses 37 through 40. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future, my friends? Will you join me now in our closing meditation? And let this lesson sink into your soul, into your consciousness, into your heart, and into your minds. Please close your eyes. Assume a listening attitude. Sit comfortable in your seats. Be still. Be still. Knowing that I of myself can do nothing. Father, it is my privilege to realize that your spiritual power and strength are sufficient to face and conquer every problem in my human experience. Your abundant, forever-giving spirit dwell within me and surround me at all times. You have given me life, and you are the glory of my being always. You live me. You love me unconditionally. And move me and comfort me so that I am never alone, never lacking, never fearful, but am now and forever complete in your eternal goodness. You are love, Father, and love is conscious unity with good. Good for me and good for everyone about me. I am of your great creation, O God. And as I relax and turn to the power of the indwelling Spirit, I realize all the more the growing consciousness of my Christhood. And I am aware of my wholeness, my completeness in you. You've set before me an open door, and I walk through it freely, easily, and joyously, into the radiance of my eternal Christhood and my eternal being in you, dear God. Father, for the awareness of your loving and giving presence that is here and now in all of its glory, in all of its power. O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen. Thank you so much. Bless you all. Good to see you.